Hello, listeners. Today is Wednesday, October 12th. Welcome to Behind the Numbers Reimagining Retail, an e-marketer podcast made possible by CJ. This is the show where we talk about how retail collides with every part of our lives. I'm your host, Sarah Lebo. Today's topic is Amazon's grocery era. Joining us today is principal analyst Andrew Lipsman. Welcome back, Andrew.
Thanks, Sarah. Good to be here.
And also here with us is senior analyst Blake Droesch. Hey, Blake.
Hey, Sarah. How's it going?
Going well. All right, let's get started with our first segment, News and Reviews, where I give the news and our guests tell me their reviews. Today's headline is an October 3rd story from The Information titled, Instacart Sitting Tight on IPO Even as Mobileye Pushes Ahead. We've been waiting on Instacart to go public for months, and the grocery delivery startups made a number of moves in clear preparation for that. But it looks like Instacart is waiting for a healthier market to announce an IPO officially. Meanwhile, Mobileye, a self-driving tech company, recently filed for IPO. So clearly startups are willing to go public right now, even as Instacart holds off. Andrew, your review of this headline in 60 seconds is?
Yeah, well, it's been clear, at least to me, that Instacart's been clearing the decks for the IPO. There's been a lot of buzz for it for a while. And I feel like they've started to turn the corner on the kind of negative narrative. The first being a Wall Street Journal story that shared some revenue data that was surprisingly strong when a lot of the narrative had been about the business flatlining, perhaps. And then recently at Grocery Shop, their CEO, Fiji Simo, spoke and they launched their Connected Stores initiative. So I feel like there's some momentum behind the business. Now, we also did see some layoffs, which right now we're seeing a lot of that in the tech space. But, you know, I think that may be getting the financials really in order so that investors are enthusiastic about this. At the end of the day, this is all about investor confidence and enthusiasm for this IPO in what is otherwise a tough market. So I think that's what they're trying to navigate. Long term, I like where they're at and their strategy, but it's a rocky market to go into.
Sure. Hitting it at 60 seconds right on the dot. Blake, your review of this headline in 60 seconds is?
Yeah. You know, I think if you're Instacart, there's no rush to go public. And, you know, for both good and bad reasons, there was another Wall Street Journal article last week that sort of made the argument that Instacart doesn't need them or doesn't seem to need the money right now, that they've, you know, got $1 billion in cash and marketable securities in the bank. And then there's also the reports that they made a profit in the second quarter. But I guess the question is, does Instacart have enough cash to wait out a turbulent stock market? And it's a stock market that hasn't really shown a lot of signs of improvement. It's hard to tell because we don't know exactly where Instacart's growth is coming from, whether it's their retail media, which is obviously susceptible to a potential downturn in the overall advertising market if the economy continues to get worse, or if it's their expansion into new verticals like home goods, which is also, you know, susceptible to consumers pulling back. So even if Instacart does wait until the winter, it might not be able to avoid stumbling out of the gate. And I think timing is what this is all about.
So what I'm hearing is that winter is coming for Instacart, but winter is not necessarily coming for Instacart. Let's pretend that made sense. Can I convince either of you to give me a prediction on when they'll IPO?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Good chance to be wrong because it's hard to time things. I think they will try and find that window before the end of the year, just after Thanksgiving.
And I guess just for fun, I'll say not till 2023.
Okay. And I will say exactly one day past both of your predictions so that I sort of prices right my way in there. All right. Now it is time for our next segment, Retail Me This, Retail Me That, where we discuss an interesting retail topic. Today's topic is Amazon's grocery era. We're now 5 years out from when Amazon, the place that you ordered books from in the early 2000s, decided it was also a grocery store and purchased Whole Foods. Now, Amazon's at an inflection point for grocery, battling with Walmart and Instacart for e-commerce dominance in the U.S. Blake, can you set the scene for us on how Amazon differentiates itself from these other giants?
Yeah, so Amazon is one of the three major players in the U.S. digital grocery space, and they've been in it for a while. Amazon Fresh has going back to 2007. So they're at least thinking about groceries long before they made the high profile acquisition of Whole Foods in 2017, which is a decade later. They've also had grocery services like Prime Pantry and Prime Now, which they've either discontinued or folded into the Fresh service over time. So as digital grocery began to mature in the late 2010s, Amazon actually was the top US seller for several years. And it wasn't until 2019 when Amazon was overtaken by Walmart, which attained more than 24% market share compared to Amazon, which fell just under 23% market share when it started slipping to Walmart again in 2019. So while Amazon's massive online audience definitely gave it an early advantage, particularly among digital savvy first adopters to grocery, Walmart was able to scale very quickly given its massive in-store grocery audience and its physical footprint, which has remained an advantage over time. And then at the same time, there is a smaller company, Instacart, that was growing fast but had a much smaller market share compared to the giants, Amazon and Walmart. Then after 2019, the pandemic hit and the digital grocery market exploded. Instacart became really the go-to platform for traditional grocers who were scrambling to meet a new demand for online delivery. And it went from having just over 10% market share in 2019 to more than 21% market share at the end of 2020. Now in 2022, it's very tight. There's a clear-cut battle for dominance. Walmart, at the end of 2022, we're predicting will have 27% market share of U.S. digital grocery sales, while Instacart and Amazon will be virtually tied at 21% each. And it's interesting because you have these three biggest players all come from different backgrounds and all have different strengths and weaknesses. Amazon is the e-commerce giant, Walmart is the retail giant, and Instacart is this new sleek business model of the third-party delivery intermediary.
Sure. I think like putting a bow on what you just said is that Amazon's task was converting e-commerce shoppers to being grocery e-commerce shoppers. Walmart's task was converting grocery shoppers to being grocery e-commerce shoppers. And Instacart's task was convincing people that a new platform is worthy of their time and money.
Yeah, essentially.
All right. So like we just said at the top, we're at an inflection point for Amazon specifically. What does the future hold for Amazon's grocery strategy? And why is this moment an inflection point? Andrew?
Yeah, well, I think Amazon's immediate future, really over the next 1, 2, 3 years, increasingly depends on grocery. So where are we today for Amazon, right? E-commerce growth has slowed. We've seen that play out over the first couple of quarters this year. And increasingly, they need to recharge revenue growth on the top line, but also they need to improve bottom line performance. And grocery is the way to do that. So grocery is a huge business. If you just look at Whole Foods, it's a lot of revenue. It doesn't really move the needle for the business because it doesn't grow very fast and it's not driving a lot of profit in and of itself. They're in the midst of rolling out the Amazon Fresh store footprint. And as that scales, that's potentially a lot more revenue. But Amazon Fresh is really designed to enable Amazon's advertising business, which is, I know we'll talk about it more, but that's really increasingly the profit driver for the business. So it's about that top line growth and also that bottom line. The last key piece, why this is an inflection point, is Doug Harrington. So he's the new head of consumer. I forget how they changed the title, but basically, you know, one of the key lieutenants to the CEO overseeing the consumer side of the business. And his whole background is grocery. I mean, he actually was VP of marketing at Webvan. We remember that as one of the early flameouts of the grocery e-commerce era, but I love that point in his history. And then he headed up consumables and other parts of the consumer business within Amazon. And now he's elevated to this really important position. And I think he's the right person for the right time because he understands this business inside and out. He understands how to grow it on the top line, both in store and through e-commerce, and drive that advertising business.
Yeah, I mean, definitely the C-suite people and directors that like these companies bring on are almost like a crystal ball for like where they're headed. Doug Harrington seems like a great example of that. You were talking about Amazon Fresh. I've never been in an Amazon Fresh. I think you have. How is Amazon leveraging Amazon Fresh and Whole Foods differently?
Yeah, I mean, so they really have two very different offerings in grocery. The bigger footprint today, and they don't seem to have invested in building it out further at this moment in time, is Whole Foods. That exists, but you know, it had the reputation as Whole Paycheck. The last few years, they really Amazonified it, put a lot of Amazon stuff in it. And, you know, as some people would say, the experience of being premium has degraded a bit, even though it's come with much better prices than it had previously. But they're under new leadership. John Mackey is exiting and they are bringing on a new CEO, Jason Buechel. And, you know, so it's a new era for Whole Foods. So how are they going to treat that differently than Amazon Fresh? Amazon Fresh is the centerpiece of their strategy and increasingly where the business is going to go, because that's what's going to carry national brands. And that is what's really going to provide the data and the fuel for that advertising business we just mentioned.
Yeah, we were talking about this a bit, especially with carrying national brands. Amazon Fresh, I think, is like definitely going to lean into national brands rather than private label, which Amazon definitely doesn't do as strongly as, say, Walmart. So do you see Amazon scaling up Amazon Fresh to Walmart levels?
That's a good question. I don't think it'll get to Walmart levels anytime soon, nor does it have to. Right now, I don't know what the exact footprint is, but it's somewhere, I think, in the neighborhood of 50 stores. They need to get to a critical mass to where they basically have national representation from that audience, and that it can drive enough sales and provide enough data to better target ads and provide performance measurement, sales performance measurement in store. Again, it's all about enabling that advertising apparatus. So I think that number is probably somewhere in the 300 to 500 range. And then over, you know, maybe several years after that, needs to get well into the thousands. But it's got a long way if it's going to chase Walmart, which has, you know, 4,500 or so stores at this point.
And I would just add too, when we talk about building a grocery business and as well as the in-store advertising, there's an inherent emphasis on a retail footprint. But the Amazon Fresh, you know, business model up until this point is also largely based on the Amazon warehouse and fulfillment center model, where they can, you know, service a larger number of regions with the current infrastructure that they have on that level than they do to building out stores. So I think it's just an important thing to note when you think about where Amazon is heading with Fresh over the next couple of years. I think what Andrew is alluding to is like maybe a bigger shift than it would appear on surface level, because you're really switching up from leaning on warehouses to now leaning on just not only expanding stores, but building more of an experience in the store.
Sure. I mean, this is sort of how we started off this conversation, right? Amazon is starting from e-commerce and moving into a place of stores. They don't necessarily need to move into a place of stores the same way a Walmart does, since they already have the e-commerce footprint. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm saying it's just a bigger transition rather than just expanding, because yes, they're moving from a business model that at its core was e-commerce to much more of a focus on the store. So even though Amazon Fresh is one entity, switching from digital grocery to omni-channel grocery is a significant transition.
The physical world is just inherently less scalable than digital and e-commerce. And so I think that's part of the learning curve, right? Whole Foods, owning Whole Foods accelerated that learning curve to some extent, but operating a grocery store is a tough business. And even though Amazon doesn't need, you know, it's a thin margin business, they can run it at probably a bit of a loss, but they can't start, you know, blowing a hole in their bottom line to do this. So they have to figure it out, run it in an operationally efficient manner, and then do that carefully in a way that also allows them to scale that ad business in a way that I think gets out in front of the capital expenditure needed to scale the business. So it's an interesting tightrope they're going to have to walk.
So that's exactly the last thing I wanted to touch on. Grocery is a super thin margin business. And my understanding is that Amazon's losing money on grocery right now. Is their aim to be the biggest seller of digital groceries, or is Amazon really mainly focused on the retail media build out?
You know, in digital grocery, they're still right there in the fight. So I think when it comes to why they're building out the Fresh stores, it does, I think, speak more to the larger business model. Increasing the availability and trying to you know, acquire new customers for the pure play Amazon Fresh is certainly one way of like staying competitive with Walmart. But I think that, you know, when you look towards the technology aspect, the data gathering aspect, the potential for building up and scaling the media business, it seems to me like a much bigger piece here where it's going beyond remaining competitive with that, you know, 20-something% share that Walmart has.
Yeah, I agree. The way to think about it is how it enables the Amazon flywheel. But the financial thing that everybody should focus on is the ad business, scaling the ad business, and how that drives their profits going forward. So I think that's what everybody needs to focus on when they think about the grocery business. Whether they don't need to beat Walmart in grocery in order to beat them in advertising and significantly grow their profits.
Sure, that makes sense. Okay, we can talk more about Amazon and their ad business and the flywheel on the whole after the break. We've talked through Amazon's grocery inflection point and how it differentiates itself from the other giants in the area. We will delve deeper into all of this in the second half, but first, a quick word from our sponsor, CJ. Affiliate marketing is incremental, and CJ proved it. From the largest affiliate incrementality study ever conducted, CJ found that compared to other channels, when affiliate is in the mix, brands see higher conversion rates, higher AOVs, more orders per customer, which compounds to deliver 88% higher revenue per shopper. Check out CJ's interactive calculator to see what the affiliate channel can do for your business at www.cj.com/emarketer/affiliate. Welcome back from the break. Now it's time for pop-up rankings, where we take a look at specific examples and we rank them. Today, I've asked Blake and Andrew to rank the top 4 tech innovations giving Amazon an advantage in grocery. Let's count these down 4-1, ending with the best one. So give me Amazon's number 4 ranked tech innovation giving them an edge in grocery.
I definitely talk about Amazon's Dash Carts, which is like their smart shopping cart that hasn't really been rolled out on a very large scale at this point. They're going to start bringing it to a few Whole Foods locations to give it some more exposure, but it hasn't gotten much so far. Basically, these are just digitized shopping carts that have sensors, so it knows what you're putting into it, but it also has a screen that tracks your grocery shopping progress. So it helps facilitate Amazon's Just Walk Out technology, but they're also positioned to function in basically the same manner as a sophisticated retail smartphone app so that it aids the customer in the shopping experience. You can do things like track your grocery bill in real time as you're putting items into the cart. The screen can help you locate products within the store, and it shows the shopper, you know, where they can find deals and stuff like that. And as grocery shopping becomes more omnichannel, I expect that the carts are probably going to be able to do things like show customers where in the store they can find the items that they've previously bought online. So I do see it as not only this vessel, once again, of facilitating its technology, but also sort of bridging the gap between the customer's online Amazon Fresh experience and its in-store shopping experience.
I hate the idea of being faced in real life with the items that I've been buying online, like the cart saying, "You bought 50 pounds of beans last week." No, I didn't do that. But
make these online purchases for a reason sometimes.
Exactly. Okay, the smart cart, Amazon branded smart cart, is number 4. What is our number 3 tech innovation from Amazon?
So I say this with the caveat that we haven't seen a lot from Amazon yet, but I'm pretty confident they're going to move into this in a big way, and that is in-store retail media. When I went on my Amazon Fresh store visit, I saw a couple of TV screens essentially over the center aisle, kind of looping brand ads, like, you know, muted ads, but you'd get those brand impressions. Now, I think that's just the beginning. It's a much more digitized store format, and there's a lot of opportunity and space, whether it's on the end caps or cooler doors. There's talk that they're developing a technology to have kind of smoke screen overlay ads on the cooler doors. We don't know what's going to be rolled out, how or when exactly, but Amazon is thinking along these lines, and it's a really critical piece in the future of their retail media strategy. So, you know, we just talked about how important advertising is to this business. This is a really, really interesting, exciting new format that, you know, ultimately can pull dollars from shopper and trade marketing budgets, brand advertising budgets, TV, maybe pulling from other digital budgets. So it's a big opportunity that I think they're after, and we're just at the beginning of it.
Since we're at the beginning of it, it's probably too early to ask this, but do you guys expect, like, both of the things you've mentioned so far, smart carts, in-store retail media, both of these in-store advertising experiences, to make grocery shopping feel fun the way it sometimes can? Or do you think it'll sort of feel industrial and bleak?
I think grocery shopping already had plenty of retail media in the traditional analog sense. Like, there's a lot of promotion that goes on in the store already. Now you're talking about a digital, an interactive potentially experience. So I think they need to be really mindful of balancing the value of that advertising with customer experience. It has to be high quality. It can't detract from the experience. It can't be annoying or intrusive or interruptive. But all that can be done without having it be a complete sea change from the status quo, and you can actually improve upon it. So I think that it is important to do it right and execute it right, but I think there's a big opportunity.
Speaking of interruptive, I interrupted my own rankings to ask that. So let's keep going. What is our number two tech innovation giving Amazon an advantage in grocery?
Yeah, actually, I think, you know, like, your interjection, Sarah, actually is like tees up the next one perfectly, because I wanted to talk about just the overall Just Walk Out technology. You know, something that is probably consumers first hear about it are a little bit taken aback, feels a little dystopian, but they've been testing it for a number of years now, and cashierless payments in grocery stores are basically the norm at this point. So I really wouldn't be surprised if technology like Just Walk Out moves very quickly from a novelty to a major customer experience advantage over the next couple of years. And as consumers soften or sort of come around to the idea of these new types of fluid payment options, Amazon is basically, whether it's Just Walk Out or Amazon One, where you pay with your palm print, they're years ahead of what the consumer is ready for. So as they ease, if they ease into these experiences, Amazon's just going to have the advantage of having been there for so long. They're, of course, going to be dependent on their willingness to scale their fresh stores so they can put the technology in them. And there are plenty of kinks that need to be worked out with the technology before they really want to introduce it to a larger audience. But, you know, just anecdotally, they're putting a Just Walk Out store in my, you know, residential neighborhood. And the fact that Amazon is slowly expanding outside of these sort of major commercial areas shows that it is beginning to position this tech away from sort of the novelty, you know, come and see what Amazon is doing tech-wise experience, and more towards an everyday practical shopping piece of technology.
Sure. I mean, yeah, Just Walk Out is definitely in the zeitgeist. There was that SNL sketch on it last season on its sort of greater, like, societal implications. This is, not to go on too much of a tangent, but I was reading about the, like, start of modern grocery shopping with, like, the Piggly Wiggly introducing consumer-based grocery shopping where you grab your own items instead of asking someone else to grab it for you, and how, like, novice that felt at the time, which was like 1916 or something. All of the questions that people asked around it sound so familiar to the questions that we're asking right now on if Amazon's tech and innovations will catch on. The same thing of people not trusting that this will work, and it shifting into just being what we consider grocery shopping now. So on that note, what is our number one tech innovation in grocery?
Yeah, so I don't know if this will be a surprise to the audience or not. It will tell a lot possibly about our audience. So I think Amazon unveiled a couple months ago store analytics, and it's an announcement that could have easily been lost in the shuffle because it is not about consumers themselves. But, you know, nerds like me read that news and said, wow, this is going to absolutely transform everything about retail in general, grocery retail first. What it is it leverages computer vision, one of the key technologies that they have in the store, to basically follow around the customer as they walk through the store. And you're now starting to talk about a real path to purchase within the store. So we just talked about in-store retail media. You can imagine how people are exposed to different brand impressions. Does that cause them to be more likely to reach for that brand in the aisle and then convert. Analytics in general have been transformative to digital. If you think about e-commerce and digital advertising, these ecosystems have been built around data-driven optimization. Now we're talking about bringing that same sort of idea into the retail format where the other 90% of retail sales occurs in grocery. That's a big opportunity. So I think it's going to absolutely revolutionize everything, and every retailer is going to be trying to catch up with this. And who knows? I mean, I feel like it's going to, once we have data to understand something that's been very nebulous in terms of how consumers act and respond within the confines of the store, it could change everything.
I think that it's very telling that all four of these technologies we talked about today are either entirely in-store or have an in-store bent, even though we're talking about e-commerce. Definitely shows that, like, blurring the line between in-store and e-commerce with the digital wallet, with the app, with the retail media, with the store analytics, it's all sort of one flywheel, like you said, Andrew. Okay, well, that is all we have time for today. We are going to go nerd out on store analytics for Andrew, comparative grocery for Blake, and I'll go nerd out on how grocery shopping has changed since the year 1916. Thank you for joining me today, Andrew.
Thanks, Sarah.
And thank you, Blake.
Thanks for having me.
Blake's Grocery Report is available for subscribers now on insiderintelligence.com. Do you have retail-specific questions for our analysts? Email us at podcasts@emarketer.com for a chance to have your question answered on the podcast by folks like Blake and Andrew. Please give us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts, and follow us on Instagram at behindthenumbers_podcast. Thank you to our listeners and to Victoria, who edits the podcast and keeps it fresher than Amazon. We'll be back next Wednesday with another episode of Reimagining Retail and eMarketer podcast made possible by CJ. And tomorrow, join Marcus for another episode of the Behind the Numbers Daily, an eMarketer podcast.